Week 5. The Joy of Our Salvation in Trying Times. A Song for the Ages. So we asked the question earlier about how Habakkuk responded to the word from God that all he needed to do was to lean into the truth that the righteous shall live by his faith. God would never abandon his children, even in times of judgment. Was Habakkuk satisfied with that? Was that enough? You better believe it. Every songwriter dreams of writing that one hit song that has a timeless message and a quality that delights listeners generation after generation. The final portion of Habakkuk is a timeless and beautiful song of faith in God. In fact, I own a page from a brightly colored prayer book made in 14th century France that some pious and well-to-do person carried with them to worship services or in times of personal prayer. You know what prayer is written on the illuminated page that I have framed? Habakkuk 3:17-19. A song for the ages indeed. This song has encouraged countless people of faith over centuries through every up and down of life. Remember, Habakkuk had just gotten word from God that judgment was coming to the house of God. Small and great, ungodly and faithful alike would be affected. A lot of people in Jerusalem didn't care to hear anything God had to say. Many would never believe that God would allow his own city to be overrun by filthy Babylonians. They might remark at Habakkuk's words, but wouldn't change any current course of living. They preferred their own alternatives to God's design, forfeitures that eased the blow of the repercussions of sinful rebellion. Habakkuk knew how hard the days to come would be for so many when called to account. But God gave him a strong word to share with those who followed him each day. I will sustain you myself. The power of the song that followed in response has found its voice among untold members of people of faith through the years, living in dark times and fearful days. Look how Habakkuk opened the song. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk 3:2. Habakkuk knew with whom he was dealing. He did not take the word of God nor his actions lightly. He trusted God's promises in every season, good and bad. He had read and heard about the work of God on behalf of his people in the past, especially freeing them from Egypt and defeating Pharaoh's armies, leaving them drowned at the bottom of the sea. Rightly so, Habakkuk is stricken to the heart, knowing that God is about to act in might against the prevalent corruption and wickedness of his day. But he knew God's character. Knowledge of his character is at the heart of these awesome minor prophets. Habakkuk now knew that something big was brewing. God was doing something for his faithful people again. In the middle of it all, make us live, is one way to understand the second part of verse 2 above. Though difficult to translate, the next part of that verse is similar to it. In the middle of everything, help us understand what you are doing. Habakkuk was a bit fearful of what was to come, but he was not fearful of God's hand in his life. He asked only that God sustain his faithful people, help them understand his ways, and one more thing, remember mercy. In many translations, the end of verse 2 reads, In wrath, remember mercy. But the word translated wrath reads more like in times of trembling, agitation, excitement, and disturbance. We can all relate to those kinds of times. Mercy is a must. Sometimes things happen that are very hard to understand or explain. Those can be the most painful days of all. God's mercy is sometimes all we have to hold on to in those times. God revealed clearly what He was doing in Habakkuk's day. The salvation of God's people was secured, but the power of God on display would be an overwhelming thing to behold. If you know you need to shake things up, Lord, shake them up, but please have mercy on those who trust in You, He says. Happily, God gladly grants mercy to those who call on His name. Bold faith. The song of memory of God's mighty works and the pronouncement of what was to come brought a shiver to Habakkuk. The day ahead looked dark indeed, but because of God's faithful promise that the righteous shall live by faith, Habakkuk looked boldly into the face of a hard future and sang this amazing and timeless song. Though the fig tree should not blossom, no fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Personally, it wasn't until I began to take God at His word and see Him act in faithfulness through my own hardships that I started to open up to this song for the ages. I guess I'm hard-headed, but I can say now with full confidence that this kind of hope in God is never put to shame. To trust in God in the face of an overwhelming flood of trouble and trial is not the habitation of fools. It is the abode of the survivor, the strong, the son of peace, and the unvanquished. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord is foolishness to some, but it requires knowing Him as the God of my salvation to understand it. If I am trying to be my own salvation, this song will make no sense and might even make me angry. But to trust God, to breathe deeply and then let my future go from my hands into His, is where the strongest souls sing songs like this one. And they are never put to shame. Father, help us to let our future be in Your hands and to take joy in You in good times and in bad. In You alone do we trust through Christ our Savior. Make us live and help us to understand. Remember mercy. Blessed Father, we wait on You. No wrong answers, discussion questions. Number 1. What is the most striking thing about an attitude of praise to God, even in the face of hardship and want? Number 2. Could the end of Habakkuk sound like a rose-colored glasses expression that fails to consider the gravity of the situation? How might some see his prayer that way? Number 3. Remembering God's goodness to us in the past is central to making it through difficult times in the present. When have you had to look back on God's faithfulness to you in the past during a critical time recently? Number 4. Is the promise that God will sustain His faithful children who trust in Him through Christ even during times of prolonged hardship enough for you? Does it sound nice but impractical? How do you personally set your mind on the things of Christ during difficult times?